Well, good morning, church family.
Good morning.
It is good to see you all out this morning. It's been a long week. Things are a little bit different this morning, but through it all, sounds like a title for him, doesn't it, Jim? Through it all. God is with us. And Miss Kathy, if you'll indulge me, I thought of something this morning, and she's not here, so I can disagree with her without getting hit. Brenda made a comment in Sunday school class, and I've heard it before, and preacher, it's one of those that you hear it and you just go, that ain't right. And she was talking about Terry, and she said, we've lost Terry. Well, I learned a couple years ago that the definition of the word lost is to not know where something is. I don't know about y'all, but I know exactly where Terry is this morning.
That's right.
We didn't lose him. We may not be able to speak to him today. But when you lose something, you never find it again. We haven't lost him. We haven't misplaced him. He's just going on a journey ahead of us. And now he's waiting. And eventually, we'll all get there. So, not that I would ever look Brenda in the eye and tell her she was wrong, but in that particular instance, I've always disagreed with that when they say, we've lost so-and-so. If they are a Christian and you are a believer, we have not lost anyone.
That's right.
And I take great strength and great comfort in that thought. This morning, the Lord just spoke to my heart when I heard that and said, it'll be okay. I mentioned last week, I know I leaned on Brother Terry more so than anybody else in this congregation probably. And it's going to be hard. But God puts us in hard places at times to walk with us through those hard places. And we will rejoice one day. And it tickled me, I don't know who it was, but somebody said, you know, we'll get a chance to ask God why he did what he did. But then they said, but by that point we just won't care. And that's true. When we get to the other side, all the bad things that happened to us on this earth, we're dying now to ask God, why did you allow us to walk through that? But when we get on the other side, we're going to praise God for walking with us. But I doubt that we'll really want to know why anymore. So this morning, the choir is going to start out with a song that many of you know. I encourage you, if you would like to sing along, please do so. The title of the song is In Christ Alone. Wonderful song of encouragement and strength. So just open your hearts and listen, and if you would like to join in with the choir on those parts that you know, please feel free to do so.
Thank you.
see everybody. Reach out to your neighbor and tell them, good to see you in Jesus. We have a card from the Oliver family. Dear church family, words cannot express the outpouring of love for us during Terry's hospital stay and death. We would have been so proud to know how many people loved him and cared for him. Thank you for your phone calls, visits, food, money, and most of all for your prayers. Love, Kathy, Bethany, Dusty, Tristan, and Riley. And we will miss Terry, but we know where Terry is. He's with Jesus, and we'll see him again one day. But until that day, we keep serving the Lord, and we look up knowing there's a better place for all of us where we're going to be. A couple of quick announcements. We'll be back at 5 today for discipleship training. 6 p.m., the way to shine out of Isaiah 14. And to this coming week, if you look at the back of your bulletin, Monday at 8, we have men's breakfast at McDonald's on Trotwood. We meet together in fellowship. Tuesday night, 6 p.m., men and women's Bible study. Wednesday, choir practice at 6. And prayer meeting and Bible study this coming Wednesday at 7, followed by the business meeting of the church. Next Sunday is our Sunday for the cure. And you want to say something about that?
Well, just get your pink to the cleaners if you haven't done so, and get ready to come all decked out in pink. I've got my blazer at home in the closet. It's ready to go. The blood drive next Sunday, we are slowly filling up the list. Had some posters out and fresh brownies downstairs in the fellowship hall. The idea was that I was going to treat you like cable customers and just offer you a brownie if you signed up. This was for new clients only. What I found out was that there was about 8 or 9 brownies gone, but no new names on the list. Doesn't work like that, guys. All right. The idea is to sign up to give blood and you get a homemade brownie. So they're down there. They'll be there tonight during discipleship time, and we encourage you to come out and be a part of it.
If you illegally ate a brownie, don't smile at Jerry, all right? Keep your teeth covered. All right. Oh, God is good.
All the time.
All the time. I'm so glad to have Joel back with us today.
Amen.
That's awesome to have him here. So I'm going to ask Joel, if you would you open us up with a word of prayer?
Well, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you for allowing us to be here. Lord, we just ask you to be with Brother David as he brings the message today, and be with the choir as they continue to sing. Lord, we just ask all these things in your most precious, wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Jerry, would you come and lead us?
I'd like to share 2 passages of Scripture with you this morning, one out of Leviticus and one out of 2 Timothy. First one comes out of the book of Leviticus, chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. A few years back, when I first started studying law, I was reading in the Old Testament, and God started to open my eyes to things in the Old Testament that exposed a certainty that, believe it or not, our civil and our criminal law is based on much of what's in the Old Testament. Much of what's in the Mosaic writings in the first 5 books. And it just always astounded me. I would run across scriptures and I'd go, yeah, I remember reading a case that was based on that premise. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you besides me have gotten a speeding ticket in this county? Or in Rutherford County, maybe, or somewhere else? And you go before the judge and you say, well, Your Honor, I didn't realize the speed limit was such and such. And the judge will look at you and say, ignorance of the law is no excuse. You've heard that. Well, I ran across this scripture one time, and I want to share it with you, again in the book of Leviticus. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord, concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin, which he hath sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And what struck me with that was that God was telling us, ignorance of the law is no excuse. But then the thought occurred to me, okay, well, how do we fix that? And I remember something that the pastor told me several years ago in a Bible study, and that was that Scripture interprets Scripture. And if you read Scripture somewhere, there's going to be at least one other passage, if not more, that will expound upon that. And sure enough, over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, Paul tells us how to fix that ignorance of the law. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. If we're going to overcome ignorance of the law, we have to study the law. We have to study the Scriptures. And Paul wrote, study to show thyself approved unto God, because we can then shun the profane and the vain babblings that surround us in different media and all other places. God will never command us to do something or to hold us accountable for something unless He provides a way to know what the right thing is, or as we heard just a short time ago, that there will be made a way of escape. We will know not only the consequences of our actions, but how to avoid the consequences of our actions. Take your hymnals now, if you would, and go with me. Number 576. This will be our offertory selection this morning, so Brother Buster and the ushers will prepare and come forward at the conclusion, and we will receive this morning's tithes and offerings as we sing number 576. I promised myself I wouldn't belabor the point, and I won't, but Miss Kathy, you know you've been missed the last couple weeks.
Amen.
No more so than what we just sang, because I've not been able to start it on the right key, a cappella, and last week we all just went flat. Y'all probably didn't hear that, but it just didn't sound right without the keyboard, and so we are so grateful that Miss Kathy is back with us this morning and the dedication to her service that she exemplifies each and every week. Go with me to number 450 as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. We will do all five verses. That question was put to me earlier this morning before the first service, and I answered it quite honestly that yes, we will do all five verses, because if I don't, Sister Polly will know somehow, and she will hunt me out this afternoon and let me know about it. So we will do all five verses, and on the last verse, as always, we will ask you to stand as the choir is dismissed, and we will join around the altar, and we will present to the Lord our prayers, our praises, our burdens, whatever is on your heart this morning. Let us share it with a loving Heavenly Father. As we sing number 450, I need thee every hour.
Thank you.
Could I have some young people to come up and talk to me about that?
How y'all doing?
How do you get saved?
How'd you get saved? You receive Jesus, you believe on Jesus. And you say, Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. Smile, Jesus loves you. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
And you believe on him. Your mom did that. Isn't that good? Y'all know what I got here? It's a bone. You know what this is?
A fossil.
It is a fossil. You're right. This is a buffalo bone. Did you know that? Somebody found this, and they called me up, and they said, would you like a buffalo bone? I said, as long as it's not Uncle Herman, that'd be okay. And so they brought me this buffalo bone. Now, this is an animal bone, and I'm going to do something with it. I'm going to carve on it or something, but I think it's kind of neat. You know, when Jesus came, though, he died for this buffalo. He didn't die for this one. You see, Jesus died for you, and you, and you, and you, and you,
and
you,
and
for you, and for them. But Jesus didn't die for the animals. He died for us. He came and he gave his life for us. And when you believe Jesus died for you, and you said, Jesus, I want you to be part of my life, that's how you get saved. That's how you get saved. So isn't that a wonderful thing? And I'm hoping one day you'll come to that, where you'll say, Jesus, I want you to be in my life. Because when you do that, it's going to be really good. Let me say a prayer for you, and then y'all get to go to children's church and learn about Jesus. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
All right. Father, I pray for these precious children. I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to speak to their heart. I know you are even now. And Lord, you're starting to work in them. Lord, that the day will come where they will say, Jesus, I want you part of my life. And that they will receive you then as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Thank y'all for coming. Y'all want to tell our book?
I already got mine.
Okay. Y'all want to tell our book? Head out with me, Ben. Children's Church.
Why?
Yeah, better come on. They're going to leave you. All right. Aren't they sweet? They are so. And you know that. Would you like a color? I'll bring it to you. Well, isn't it good to be in God's house?
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad to see you. I'd like to say I am glad to see you. It's wonderful to be in this place. It's wonderful to be here to worship Jesus. Today we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 12. If you've got a bulletin, open the bulletin up. On the left-hand page, it'll tell you what page in your pew Bible to turn to. If you don't have your Bible, the left-hand page will tell, I think it's page 998, but you need to look because I'm old and I forget. But it'll be inside your bulletin on the left-hand page. On the right-hand page, though, is the entire chapter of Isaiah chapter 12. This is one of the smallest books in the 66 books of Isaiah, but it is a fantastic text. And we're going to do the responsive reading on the right-hand page on the inside of your bulletin. I ask the audience, if you would, read the bold-faced text in unison, and I will read the non-bold-faced text. Isaiah 12, verses 1 through 6, it says, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me.
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation.
Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation.
And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted.
Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth.
Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel.
in the midst of thee.
I'm going to ask my brother Tony Kanzler if you would bless the message.
Dear gracious and heavenly Father, we bow in your presence one more time. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. Father, we thank you for the sweet spirit we've already felt in your house today. Father, we thank you for each and every person that's had part in this service. God, at this time, we ask your blessing to be upon Brother David as he brings forth the word of life to us. Father, we ask the sweet spirit of the Lord dwell in our presence today. We'll be able to worship here today in spirit and truth. God, we pray if there be any soul here that don't know you, never received you as Lord and Savior, you would speak to that heart and draw them unto the well of salvation. Father, if there be any soul here that's known you as Savior, but's went astray somewhere in life, Father, we ask you to speak to that heart and draw them back to yourself through your loving arms that you want to wrap around them and love them.
Yes.
Father, bless this dear church and this dear pastor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You know, I never know what children are going to say. You never know what they're going to say when you get them in front of you. You never know what they're going to do in church, but it's always a pleasure to do that. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, he was preaching, and he was preaching out of Genesis 3:19, when Adam fell and he brought sin into the world. He said, and God told Adam, he said, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And the preacher, he looked at the audience and he said, people, we are but dust. And as he thought about what he's going to say next, a little girl sitting in the audience leaned over and whispered rather loudly to her mother, Mama, what is butt dust? Some of y'all are wondering if you should laugh at that. But I think God gave us a sense of humor. And I think we need to understand that God is an awesome God.
Amen.
God made us to be more than dust. And when we die, our bodies turn back to dust. I don't care what you do to it, how you treat it, what you do chemically with it. You can put it wherever you want to, but the body turns back to dust. But the soul is eternal. And that's the thing that I want to talk about today. And I want to talk about the fact that your soul is eternal. And where will your soul be one day? Will it be with God? I hope it will be, because God made it. And God tells us there's a great place of coming. I mean, if you don't believe that, turn to the back of Revelation and start reading about that. I'm telling you, when I get to heaven, I think that's going to be a fantastic time. But to get to heaven, you've got to receive God as your salvation. And that's what the text says today. It says in verse number 2, behold, God is my salvation. Now, he doesn't say God is my Savior. And it's important that God be your Savior. But there's a difference between saying God is my salvation and God is my Savior. So, well, what's the difference, preacher? God is your Savior in the fact that he came to this earth. And he gave himself for you and for me. You know, God loves y'all so very much. And he loves me so very much. And he reached out to the earth and he sent the prophets. And the prophets spoke of a God who loved us. But man kept drifting farther and farther and farther away from God. And then God said, here's what I'm going to do. And he knew he was going to do this from the beginning. And we'll see this all through the book of Isaiah. God said, since man will not reach out to me, I'm going to reach out to man. Who am in the beginning the Word, who was with God, and the Word who was God, am going to become flesh. I'm going to become Emmanuel. And I'm going to walk amongst you and talk amongst you and let you see how God operates. And then to show you the greatest act of love I can, I'm going to go to a cross on Calvary. You say, well, why would he go to a cross on Calvary? Wasn't that a tragic mistake? No, it wasn't. You see, the Bible tells us that in order to get where God is, you can't be a sinner. And every person in this place is a sinner. Every one of us are sinners. All of us fall short of the glory of God. That's the bad news. But God says, I will become your salvation. If you will believe on me and receive me, I will be your salvation. See, salvation is a process. When you receive Christ as Savior, that day you become destined to one day end up in heaven. When you receive Him as Lord and Savior, He says, you're no longer in my eyes a sinner. He says, you're my child. You're my beloved. You're someone that I'm going to take to heaven one day. Oh, isn't that good?
Amen.
Oh, if y'all aren't feeling this, just go somewhere else. Go to a movie theater or something. But I tell you, it makes me so happy to know how much God loves me. Doesn't that you? God says, I'm going to take you to heaven. But it's a process. God says, I am your salvation. He says, from the day that I take you, I'm going to begin to shape you and to mold you and to make you. And if you are a child of His, nothing happens to you by coincidence. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. You know what God is doing with a Christian? Is He shapes us and He molds us. And the trials and the tribulations that come our way, God is at work in us. And God is our salvation. When you realize God is your salvation, what does that do for you? Look at your text today. He says there in verse number 3, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. I love the picture of that. Can y'all all think of a picture of a well right now? You know, an old-timey well? I know y'all don't see these anymore. When I talk about water, y'all think about going to the kitchen sink or somewhere else or buying it in a bottle. But I grew up in a day where there was a well where you drew water out of the well. Has anybody ever seen that? And you would draw water. And the only way you could get water out of the well is you didn't sit on the edge of the well and dive in. You put a bucket down in the well. And this bucket was on a rope, and you would lower it down, and you would fill the bucket and bring it back up. And sometimes there might be things in the water. But you didn't worry about the things in the water if you were thirsty. Amen. But God's water, God's richness of salvation, He says it's living water. There's nothing filthy in that. It is with joy that you draw water out of the wells of salvation. There are many waters there that God has for you. And you can't have that joy unless you know that God is your salvation. So let's talk about this for a moment, because this is a fantastic text. God is my salvation. God, what does it mean if God is my salvation? He starts out in verse number 1. In that day, in what day? In a day of trial, in a day of tribulation, in a day where that's just not a good day. Y'all ever had just not a good day? He said, in that day, I will praise thee, O Lord. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to praise you. Because, he says in verse number 1, though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away. God does not like sin. God doesn't. And the Bible says God is despised by sin. When God sees sin, God turns away from it as something that is abhorrent. You say, why would God be angry with me? If God is not my salvation, God is angry with me. God is angry with everybody. Everybody knows John 3:16. How many of y'all don't know John 3:16? Can you say it with me if I say this? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everybody memorized that in Bible school. We went to Vacation Bible School, we memorized that. It was probably the first Bible verse you ever read or you ever thought about. But nobody read the verses or learned the verses after that. Here's what the verses that come after John 3:16 says. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Not too long ago, the pastor of the fourth largest Presbyterian church in America, it's a Presbyterian USA church, she said to reporters and from the pulpit and looked at the audience and it got in the news. She said, you don't have to be a Christian to go to heaven. And you don't have to believe in Jesus to go to heaven. But my Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus said this. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. God despises sin, but God sent his Son to be a covering for our sin. And though God was angry with us when we were sinners without Christ, now that we know Jesus, God is not angry with us anymore. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
If you're born again, God's not angry with you. He's not. He might get a little irked at you sometime. If as a child you walk away from him and do something you're not supposed to do. When I was a young boy, my mama told me I was perfect. She looked at me one day and she said, David, you're a perfect idiot. Because of what I'd done. But my mama loved me and would have given anything for me. And my mama would have laid my life down for me. Jesus has laid his life down for you. And Jesus has paid your sins entirely. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And when Jesus came, the Bible tells us in Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that is hanged on a tree. Jesus was cursed in my place. As the nails were pounded into his hands, I should have been on that cross. As they were pounded into his feet, I should have been on that cross. As he was beaten with whips, I should have been beaten. And as Jesus had the sins of the world poured out on him, and he died the thousands of deaths that had to be, I should have been in that place.
Amen.
But Jesus stood in that place for you and for me. And the good news of the gospel is this, is that if you received him as Lord and Savior, then not only is God your Savior, God is your salvation. And he will be with you from the time you receive him to the time you end this life. And I tell you this, you're all going to end this life.
Amen.
You know, we don't know when we're going to go, but I know where I'm going to go. How about you?
Amen.
I don't know what day God's going to call me to, but I know I'm going to go to an endless day in a place that's going to be gorgeous. And I know this, that when I get to heaven, I'm not going to be amazed by the street of gold. And I'm not going to be amazed by the angels singing in heaven. And I'm not going to be amazed by that, but I'm going to be amazed by him who sits on that throne, the one who took the and bore my sins and died for me. Oh, how worthy that makes me feel, though I'm worthless. But my worth is in him. What a Savior we have in Jesus. Amen. Oh, what a glorious Savior. My sins are covered. And they're covered forever. You know, Billy Graham made this statement. I love Billy Graham. How many of y'all know Billy Graham? Anybody know him? He said this. He said, we in the church have failed to remind this generation that while God is love, he also has a capacity to hate. He hates sin and he'll judge it with the fierceness of his wrath. This generation is schooled in teaching about an indulgent, soft-hearted God whose judgments are uncertain and who coddles those who break his commandments. This generation finds it difficult to believe that God hates sin. I tell you, God hates sin just as a father hates a rattlesnake that threatens the safety of his child. God loves evil and diabolical forces that will pull people down to a godless eternity, just as a mother hates a venomous spider found playing on the soft, warm flesh of her baby. God hates sin because of what it does in us, and sin separates us from God. And that's why God says, I'll be your salvation if you'll come to me. He says, lay your life down to me and I will bless you. God is my salvation. What a wonderful thing that is. I want you to notice something else in this text. And I love this. If God is my salvation, my sins are covered. But if God is my salvation, I'll live a much better life. Look at verse number 2. He says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. How do y'all like Oreo cookies? Oh, come on. Some of y'all fess up. Because I can see them all over you. Amen. Y'all like Oreo cookies? Them little fat pills? I believe you look on the label, it says a serving size is 2 cookies. I thought a serving size was a sleeve. Amen. I love Oreo cookies. What's an Oreo cookie? It's a chocolate cookie. I mean a good chocolate cookie. On this end. And a chocolate cookie on that end. And right in the middle is a bunch of sugar. It ain't nothing but pure sugar. And some people, I tell you what, I get some Oreo cookies and I get me a glass of milk, I just can't stop. It's like an addiction. I want you to look at this verse as if it's an Oreo cookie. Take a look at it for just a moment. He starts out in verse number 2, "Behold, God is my salvation." Say that with me. God is my salvation. Now look at the end of the verse, what he says. He also is become my salvation. Y'all say that with me. He also is become my salvation. What are the cookies in this verse? The first cookie is this. God is my salvation. I know God is my salvation. Not just at the point of salvation, but God is my salvation. He's with me everywhere. He's with me not just in church, but when I walk out of church. When I get in my car, God is my salvation. When I go home, God is my salvation. When the sun goes down, God is my salvation. When the sun comes up, God is my salvation. When I'm sleeping in my bed, God is my salvation. He's always there. But the other cookie is this. God has become my salvation. God has become my salvation. And when you've got God is my salvation on one side, and you've got God has become my salvation on the other. God came in the flesh for me. God walked this earth for me. God died for me. God rose again for me. And God ever lives for me. And you've got that as cookies. Then you've got a sweet sugar in the middle. And I want you to see the sugar right now. Look at the sugar part of the cookie. I will trust and not be afraid. Oh my goodness, that's a great thing. Amen. I will trust and not be afraid. I've told y'all before, part of my life story, when I grew up, I was very shy. I nearly fell first grade. They thought I was mentally ill, but I wasn't. I couldn't see. I was in school at, where'd y'all go? And I couldn't see. The teacher wrote stuff on the blackboard and I couldn't see. And they sent me to the teacher. And the worst thing you can do to a child is tell him he's got to wear glasses. Big old thick Coke bottle glasses. Boy, that'll get the girls. Amen. Everybody picked on me, four eyes. And then in the third grade, my teeth were coming in all different directions. So then I got braces. And now four eyes and metal mouth. And people talk about getting abused in school and being picked on and bullied. I'm the poster child for being bullied. And I grew up afraid. And I had no confidence. I was frightened at things. When I went through the Air Force Academy, I had to do a speech thing where I stood in front of a group of other airmen. And I couldn't hardly do it. It was so frightening. Fear consumed my life. I tell people my wife had to ask me to marry her. And that's kind of true, isn't it, Sherry? I was very shy when she first met me. But then God became my salvation.
Amen.
And with that, the fear goes away. You know, the world runs off fear today. If you've got the Baptist paper, there's front page of the Baptist paper this week is, what's your church's security plan? You need to watch out for this and that and the other thing. You know, I just had to laugh when I read that. You know, we've got security cameras and people watching them. But beyond that, half the men in this church are armed and the other half of the women are armed. So if somebody wants to come in here and cause trouble, just hit the floor. We'll take care of it. Amen. I'm not worried about that. We'll bury them afterwards. I'm not worried about it. I'm certified to do funerals. Amen. I'm not worried about that. But the worst thing in the world is to live your life in fear. Afraid to do anything. Afraid to step out. Afraid to step up and just live and just exist and then die. That's so terrible. But when God is your salvation, you reach the potential that God wants you to be. And God blesses you. And you're not worried about anything after that because you know God is with you. and God will never forsake you. Look what else he says in this text. He says, the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. The Lord Jehovah is capitalized. And that word in the Hebrew is a double Yahweh. It's Yahweh. It means literally the eternal God who is the eternal God. And he says this. He says, the God who has no beginning and no end, the Alpha and Omega, he is my strength and he is my song. Oh, beloved, when God is your Savior and your salvation, and God is your Savior and your salvation, then there is nothing you can't do as long as you're following him. I've read the back of the book, and I tell you what, we're going to hook the devil. And I've read the back of the book, and we're going to win the world. And I've read the back of the book, Jesus is going to be triumphant at the end. And if you'll let God be your Savior, you will be triumphant too. Is God your Savior? You know, he goes on and he says some other wonderful things in this text. And I'm going to close with this. I already talked about the joy. But he says in verse 4, in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Brag on God. Sing unto the Lord, for he's done excellent things. And that is known throughout all the earth. But he ends with this, cry and shout, you inhabitant of Zion. Heaven is your home if God is your salvation. You might be here right now, but let me tell y'all a little secret. You're not going to stay here. Amen. And I want to tell you something else. You don't want to stay here. Amen. How much good news do you see on the TV every day? You know what's in heaven? Street of gold. Jesus reigning. You know what's not in heaven? No graveyards. No hospitals. No politicians. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. There ain't going to be no liars there. And you know what it says in the book of Revelation? It says there won't be any fearful people in heaven. Because God is my salvation. And if God is your salvation, you're headed toward victory. Make sure you can say that. God is your salvation. Father, we love you so very much. I thank you so much for your word, Lord. I thank you for the fact that Jesus Christ gave himself for us. I thank you for the once and for all salvation that you purchased for us on the cross of Calvary. I thank you, Jesus, for bearing up under that burden. Lord Jesus, as the nails were pounded in, you said nothing. Lord Jesus, as you were beaten, you said nothing. But Lord Jesus, as our sins were poured out on you and judged, you cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I know you felt the weight of my sin. And I know that because of you, my sin has been paid for in full. I know, Lord God, you received me as an imperfect being. And you receive every child as an imperfect being. But one day, we'll stand before you perfect and whole. Because, Lord, you are our salvation. You save us, you stay with us, you cleanse us, you sanctify us, and one day you'll take us to yourself. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your grace. We love you so very much. If there's anyone here today that does not know you as Lord and Savior, let today be the day they will call on you, Jesus, and be saved. For those who have believed on you shall not be condemned, but whosoever believeth not on you is condemned already. Because they've not believed on you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Turn with me to number 275.